Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I'm Dusty Likens with Bob Fesco and Mac Murray. Use mattress, North 49, mile marker 163.4.
Is it a queen? Do they have a size listed for that, Dusty?
I don't know. Somebody just said they mad because they lost a bet. Dusty, donut holes. I'm just reading text lines how they happen. Are donut holes underrated? Those little suckers you can pop, man.
Oh, like, I mean, you could eat 1,000 of them. Like I just had a few donut holes.
The Lamar's donut. My boss used to like get us donuts on Saturdays at work at the restaurant, and then she would just have her own little stash, and it was just a bag full of like glazed donut holes.
And
pretty good.
You don't feel like you're eating a lot. Like you get the box of Munchkins at Dunkin', you know, get like a 30-pack or something like that, and pop all those. The little chocolate ones were the best. The little glazed ones were good. The blueberry ones.
I mean, the blueberry
ones. Fat kid in disguise here.
No doubt.
I'm going to tell you, you throw.
You're like, they're not that bad for you, but when you eat 12 of them, it's like eating 4 donuts.
Right, but see, here's the other thing about that. I'm not a huge like donut fan. Like I've never craved the donut, but like the Munchkins, I like those. Like I could eat those, you know, all day. But I'll just never go get a donut, and because it's never been something that I've really craved. But sometimes you drive by this Krispy Kreme when we leave here in the morning, and you can smell the donuts cooking in there. Ooh, it smells delicious.
By the way, this was Jameis Winston ranking his top fast food restaurants. I know you guys don't know this. We got to get into Otani here in a little bit. We've already done that, but he did like the, I don't know if you're familiar with this, where you're on Instagram or TikTok and you have like a little shuffle. And they pop up, and then you have to like respond to it and put your places. So ranking,
kind of like that heads up game we used to play with the kids. I like it.
So this was Winston on naming fast food restaurants. What do you think? 7:44.
What do we get? McDonald's gotta go with the arches at 2. Should be 1. Chipotle.
Chipotle. McDonald's. Chipotle.
I'm gonna go with 4. Dunkin' Donuts.
There you go.
Dunkin' Donuts coffee over Starbucks.
Oh yes.
Old school Pizza Hut, like with the buffet Pizza Hut.
Oh,
Chick-fil-A.
Hell yeah.
Gotta love that chicken. 1. Subway, Eat Fresh, Panda Express. It's not really impressive. I'm sorry. Papa John's Pizza. Papa John's. Y'all better than Pizza Hut now.
Oh, no,
Arby's. Them curly fries, but Krispy Kreme. Oh my goodness. Krispy Kreme definitely would have been before Dunkin' Donuts. I love Krispy Kreme. It's like they melt in your mouth.
Yes, they do.
Like those little baby circles.
I love that. That's good. That's so good. Man. I love him.
So
I love
He's
him.
He's so good.
He is the best.
I need him to start in Cleveland so Amari Cooper can go off.
How come nobody can ever say Chipotle right? Like, my wife can't say Chipotle right all
How
the time.
How does she say
Chipotle?
It?
Chipotle. Chipotle. That's not, no.
I don't know. Chipotle way. Are you tired of pooping yourself blood?
Like, I love Jameis Winston. Like, I just need more of him.
Oh, man. He's just great.
He is fantastic. I love it.
They did say it's a queen mattress, by the way.
Okay.
So there you go.
Perfect. And he is absolutely right. The midnight blend at Dunkin' Donuts coffee that they have is the best coffee you can buy in the market today.
Their coffee is pretty legit.
Their coffee is outstanding.
That's the only caramel macchiato I've ever liked. And I don't really like caramel macchiato. It's just too sweet. Like, it's but like one time they gave me the wrong one and I took a drink of it. I was like, this is not what I ordered, but I'm not mad about it.
You're not mad. See, I don't do any flavorings in coffee. It's just black for me. Like, it's so no calories that way, Dusty.
Well, I use almond milk, so
I like just coffee the way it is, right? And like I like Cuban coffee, a little shot of like really, really thick, dark coffee is really good. So that midnight blend at Dunkin' is out of the park, man. Love it.
No coffee for me.
Speaking of out of the park.
Smiling. We all are watching this guy. This is not real life. He is not human.
That's outstanding. I mean, Joe Davis on the call couldn't have been any better.
It's
That's
raw.
A big time call right there. And I know he's on Fox and he's their number one baseball guy and whatnot, but like that was an amazing call. Give the guy the credit in the world. I mean, what Shohei did yesterday was absolutely amazing from a broadcasting standpoint. That was freaking phenomenal by Joe Davis, man. Tip of the cap to him. And, you know, Oral Hershiser on the color analyst, he let the play-by-play guy do
he's
his
too busy
thing.
Laughing.
I mean, like, how do you not laugh at what Ohtani did? Like, you're in disbelief.
Right.
And I asked you guys this last night. What's the single greatest performance of an athlete you've seen in person?
That's tough.
It is, right? Like, what would you say your single greatest in person? Like, we all have seen things on TV, but in person, what is the single greatest moment, day, thing that you've ever seen somebody do?
So, there's, to my knowledge, I believe there's two.
Okay.
I was at the James Shields game when they were trying to get into the playoffs, and he went like 9 innings, gave up 3 hits, struck out 8, and saluted the bullpen.
Okay. Because
that was one of those nights where, like, I get it, it's baseball, but like you could just kind of feel that it was his game,
right,
and that he was kind of just like rolling through. And then during Grinke's Cy Young year in 2009, my dad and I had partial season tickets, and it just so happened one of the nights with Zach Greinke. We were never like, we were like two hogs in mud rolling around because we were like, oh, hey, we got a ticket to the night's game, and we don't have to worry about getting one.
Right.
You know, almost a sellout crowd towards the end of the season when he was dealing.
Sure.
And it was another one of those like 9 innings, 3 hits, 12 strikeouts, and the Royals lost 1-0. I mean, it was just like one of those things where it's like, I don't even think they lost, actually. I think he did win because he got a standing ovation, a curtain call
right
at the end of the game. And those are up there. And then I don't know if it's like a greatest performance, but I was at the Mahomes game on the 4th-and-9 play against Baltimore.
Against Baltimore. Yeah.
Serta and I were covering it for the station, and we were in the press box. And like, that's one time where Steven and I looked at each other, and I was like, the NFL might be in trouble if this guy is able, because he threw a no-look pass. He threw the 4th-and-9 pass.
Yep.
And there was another play, like a run or something, where it was just like, this guy is clearly built different, and this is so fresh and young in his career. But that was just, like, that was me.
Yeah.
Someone on the text line says they were at the DT7 sack game. Unreal that they still lost. I remember my dad telling me about that game. Peyton Manning coming back against Tom Brady and the Patriots in the 05 AFC Championship game. You were there?
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow.
That's a hell of a game to be at. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, Mahomes, you think that, like, I don't know if you were at the 13-second game.
I was not because I.
But that's a great performance by two players.
Yeah.
Because that was Josh Allen's best game he's ever had.
Right.
And Mahomes had to do all that as well with 13 seconds left.
Yeah. So I'm gonna throw one out that a lot of people probably are going to go, wow, I can't believe you're going with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a guy who played for the Chiefs back in the early 2000s from 01 to 04. His name was Derek Blaylock.
And I remember him.
There was a game where he had four rushing touchdowns in one game against the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. Derek Blaylock would have four touchdowns that game, and I think Priest Holmes had four as well in that game. They combined for like 8 rushing touchdowns on that day against the Atlanta Falcons. And so I think for me, that was the single greatest like performance individually that I've ever seen, because you didn't know who Derek Blaylock was at the time. And oh, by the way, Priest Holmes scored 4 touchdowns in that game as well. And so that was one of those, Atlanta.
I was at that game.
It was like 2000.
Mm-hmm. No, I sat behind the goal. It was
October of 2004. Yeah.
Two different running backs had 4 touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
Know what you said? Yeah. And I remember it was 35-0 at halftime.
Yeah. It ended up being like, I mean, like
42-7. Yeah.
It was an absolute blowout.
Michael Vick was the quarterback.
And
I was at that game.
But I want to say they bottled Michael Vick up that day, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he was terrible.
Right? Like he was not good.
That was my Christmas present, my big Christmas present that year from my parents.
Yeah.
My dad gave me a coupon that said, Chiefs, Falcons, we're going.
Yeah.
And I was like, because he knew I loved Vick.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was, yeah, I'll never forget that game. I sat in the end zone, the non-loud end zone, back before when they still had the band. I forget that guy's name.
Tony DiPardo.
Yeah, DiPardo. Yeah. And he was on the other side. We were on the quiet side.
Right.
And yeah, it was 35-0 at halftime, 4 touchdowns, both running backs.
It was an amazing performance that day by Derek Blaylock. And so that's kind of, for me, I mean, like when you see something like that and you're like, oh my God, that was wild. Like that Derek Blaylock game will kind of be one. They won 56-10 that day.
Yeah, 56. I thought it was 49-7.
56-10 that day.
Insane.
And it was just an incredible, incredible performance by Derek Blaylock. So I got to go to that one. I know he's not a household name, but man, you have 4 touchdowns in one game and you're not a household name, and the other guy who is a household name has 4 touchdowns in that game as well. That was a wild performance.
Yeah, they gave Priest basically the second half off. They're like, thank you.
Yeah.
Have a nice night.
That's right. So, I mean, you can weigh in and let us know what your best individual performance was, but nothing beats what that was last night. I think, in my opinion, that was the greatest individual performance in the history of sports. I mean, what he 3 home runs, 6 for 6, 10 runs scored, and bases stolen. I mean, it's crazy.
10 RBIs. Yeah. If he scored 10 times, I'd have lost my mind.
Did I say 10 runs scored?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, he scored 10 times too?
Yeah.
like Shannon Sharp. But yeah, speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, we get Mitch Holthus. He'll be on the show on the other side. Your voice of the Kansas City Chiefs on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, and this is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. We are up and streaming on the YouTube, the X,
yeah,
the Twitch, the Switch, the Flitch.
I think you should subscribe to our YouTube channel at 96.5 The Fan on YouTube. Or I don't know why I said at 96.5 The Fan on YouTube. Subscribe to that. And that way, Dusty and I are always on top and you can see our beautiful faces and then roll into Cody and Gold and Carrington and never have to worry about changing your YouTube channel. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. And I'll tell you this right now. Our boss is like, nobody's going to subscribe for you guys, right?
Right.
And I said, okay, whatever. So let's go out there and knock it out of the park today. Let's see if we can get 100 new subscriptions to the 96.5 YouTube page by the end of the day. And that way Spectre has to stay locked in his office.
He said he was listening to us while laying in, or watching us while laying in bed.
Did that creep you out? Yeah, I heard that.
I
thought about that on the way home.
You laying in bed right now, Daddy?
Yeah. How you doing, Steven? Good morning.
You think he sleeps shirtless or shirt on?
Oh, 100%. Who sleeps with their shirt on?
What is he looking at me for?
Oh, you're shirtless?
Shirtless.
Okay.
Are you shirt on?
You sleep with your shirt on?
Butt naked.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I do too. I have no problem with that. Yes, I do.
Butt naked?
Hell yeah.
I got bamboo sheets, boy.
Oh, do you? Are they nice? Tell me more about them because I've been researching bamboo. Dude. Are they great?
Absolutely. Triple woven bamboo.
What's the thread count on those things?
Like 5,000.
No, it's not.
No, it's like 500. Yeah. No, seriously.
Target. How quickly, too, if somebody tells us to talk sports and not talk about bamboo.
Our boss today, when he comes in, dive into the content.
I don't know why you're talking about that. There's no subscription fee at all. It is free.
Totally
subscribe.
Free.
Do it. Let's go.
No, yeah. And then in the wintertime, this is how weird I am, my sheets. In the wintertime, I switch over to the jersey-style sheets, which is like sleeping in that t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You better be clean when you get into that bed. Yeah. They're white.
No, I'm with you. Buck naked is the way to go.
Ah, dude. I mean,
anybody sleeps with a shirt on?
It's not weird. I have like a pair of shorts next to the bed, next to the baseball bat that doesn't need to be changed out every year.
Right.
Because it's from when I was like 9 years old. So if somebody comes in, they're getting the old Eli Roth from Inglourious Basterds. Mm-hmm. Teddy freaking ball game. Hit it out of the freaking yacht. Teddy ball game. Best Tarantino film there is. That's a debate we could have another day.
Boy.
I know.
Okay.
I opened up a can of worms
just
there.
It up as we're getting ready to talk to Mitch in a couple of minutes. Oh, my.
I sleep with my shirt on. What are you, Winnie the Pooh? Do you go just shirt, nothing underneath it?
Yeah. Somebody says they sleep in a shirt and a hoodie and sometimes even sweatpants. Wow, that's just too hot for me.
Somebody says, Dusty, you and Bob should try the bamboo sheets together. Anytime.
I'm not against it.
I got a body pillow we could put in the middle.
Oh, why?
Well.
From the 816. Okay, Walter Pennington and your bamboo sheets.
They were at Target. That's fair. I mean.
Well played. Yes.
They were at Target. They're only like $75. No, they were like $85.
Oh, my God.
Is that expensive?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you the last time I bought sheets. I mean, we don't change our sheets, you know, from a new standpoint, hardly ever.
Yeah.
I mean, how long are you, like Spectre used to say he would get rid of his socks and underwear every 6 months. I'm like, every 6 months? I've got underwear and socks older than Mac.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, I have a pair of shorts next to my 9mm. We are not the same. And I sleep in the buff. I don't know what the buff is.
Naked in the buff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a real saying?
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. In the buff.
TIO. Today I learned. Just like up on the cum.
Or that would be T-I-L.
Yeah, today I learned, T-I-L.
You said T-I-O.
No, I said T-I-L.
No. You did?
Yeah.
I swear he said check the tape.
Check
the tape, yeah.
Stop the count. Speaking of the count, Joel Embiid, man.
Those are pillows. Great text. If you know the movie, you know that's a fantastic text.
Breaking news. Joel Embiid just got absolutely paid. He agreed to a
three. Did Woj have this?
No, he didn't. It was ESPN. Rams. Is this the new guy?
Shams.
Oh, no, this is Ramona Shelbourne.
Oh, okay.
She is a senior writer at ESPN, and she gets to break it. Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers have agreed to a three-year, $192.9 million maximum contract extension, sources have told ESPN and her. Philly ain't going anywhere for Joel Embiid, and he's now massively paid for nothing.
Listen to this one, too. I'll take it one step further. Shams reports this morning, Embiid now has 5 years and $301 million on his deal.
What's he done? Like, other than win the MVP? Am I wrong about that? Like,
look, eventually you have to win championships and perform in the postseason, right? You got to perform in May and June in the NBA.
He can't stay healthy.
No, never he has been able to stay. No, healthy.
Right. Like, no. He's just always hurt. He's and always then hurt. To me, his most iconic moment is watching him crouch down and watch Kawhi Leonard bust that three right in his face.
Yeah. This guy
to
has
win
been,
the series.
This guy has been hurt since he played at KU. And you know, when he was here for that 1 year, they said, well, if we get to the second weekend of the tournament, you know, Joel Embiid will be able to play in that tournament. And we never got to the second weekend because Stanford knocked him out in St. Louis, but Joel Embiid has been an injury enigma since he was in college, and it really hasn't changed. And I mean, look, it's the FOMO, I guess, but he's a huge fan favorite there in Philadelphia, and he's a really good player when he's healthy. The problem is he doesn't play a lot of the time, right?
Right. Yeah, you know how we say, you know, don't play softball because you have to change the bat?
Yeah.
Go play basketball.
I guess that's where the money's at, right? A lot of money in that. No My goodness. Wow.
I just want to play this because I know he's on hold listening.
48 seconds remaining in the half. Atlanta has the ball at their own 25. Bryant out of the shotgun. Fires it over the middle. Intercepted by Berry. He's at the 25. Eric Berry from Atlanta at the 15. The Atlanta fading 10. 5. Touchdown. Kansas City. Born and bred in Atlanta, Georgia. And now he goes the distance on a giant mistake by Matty Ice Ryan, who gets thawed with the pick six near the end of the second quarter.
Best part about that audio is he said Matty Ice gets thawed. And then Eric Berry had that day where he was the greatest.
Now the Falcons will go for two. Two receivers to the right and a tight end.
This.
Eldrick Robinson split in left. Devin Coleman is the running back. Now Ryan will throw. It's intercepted. This can be returned for two. This can be points for Kansas City. It would give Kansas City the lead. It's Eric Berry. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. It is a two-point conversion the other way for Kansas City. The first time in Chiefs history, the Chiefs have pulled it off. And the Chiefs lead 29-28. Eric Berry, who went through cancer treatments not far from here at Emory University, just picked off the Matt Ryan pass and returns it 102 yards for 2 points, and the Chiefs lead 29-28.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
That's right, baby. That's right. We're now joined here on our show on Fesco and Dusty. Mitch Holthus joins us here. Mitch, I set him up. You knock him down, brother.
Well, it's hard not to get emotional to listen to that. As far as regular season memories, in my brief 31 years as the voice of the Chiefs, that's right up there. The fact that it was Eric's first game going back after having those cancer treatments at Emory, and he had bought tickets for a gob of nurses and hospital helpers who had helped him through those treatments. They were all in the stadium that day. And then both his mom and dad obviously were there. When he got the pick six, which I thought was poetic enough, then and he hands the ball to his mom in the stands, and I'm thinking, I know his dad's there. But then to get the only pick two in NFL history thus far. It's the only one. Nobody else has done it.
Wow.
That was 2016. And then he handed that ball to his dad. I mean, you it's one of those you can't make this up. And Dusty, you're very astute. You can help Bob with this. And you heard me say it on the play-by-play. What was the total after EB ran that two-pointer in? What was the Chiefs' total?
It was 29.
And what was Eric Berry's number?
29.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's great.
That's
as long as the Lord gives me oxygen on this earth, I will tell that story. That's it's amazing. Too incredible. And people go, dude, you're making that up. No. However, we're watching video years from now. I'm going to say, let's find this video. And here's what happened. It's really one of the more incredible NFL stories of all time.
Yeah, we're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Mitch Holtis here, and Mitch Holtis is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center, and also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
What there's a two-part question here for me, Mitch, and I kind of go down memory lane a little bit. Number one is, it's amazing to me, and maybe this isn't even a question, it's just a statement I kind of want you to react to, but like, it's amazing to me on certain situations when athletes can step it up to that level like Eric Berry did. Like, you knew that was an important game and he raised his level. We see that happen a lot in professional sports. And that was a great individual performance. And we were talking about what Ohtani did last night, right? His 6-for-6 night and 3 home runs. I think it's the greatest single performance in the history of sports. What's the greatest single performance you have seen in person in sports?
Oh, my goodness.
Because I went with Derek Blaylock scoring 4 touchdowns against the Falcons, and then Priest Holmes having 4 in that same game.
Yeah, 56-10 win. But that game just didn't – it's got to be something that moves the needle. Now, for Ohtani last night, he's in a pennant race or a race to get the 1 seed. But that 56-10 Atlanta win in 04 just didn't – I'm with you. It's cool. It's great. You don't see it very often. But I also – what does it lead to?
Yeah, they were 2-4, I think, at the time.
Yeah, and they ended up 7-9. Like that year, was coming off the 0-3, 9 wins in a row and all that year. And it was like, what happened to that year? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that one isn't like super fun. Gosh, these Super Bowl performances, especially, I think that, and this is more Dennis Quaid movie stuff, but honestly, right now, just right at the top of my head, it's Patrick Mahomes on an ankle, which is his excruciating, so excruciating, the pain he's feeling, it's shooting up his leg, that he's scrambling for that first down against the Eagles in Super Bowl 57 to lead to the go-ahead field goal. And the look on his face was the intense pain he was in. Now, he's told me that he was worse pain in Super Bowl 55 when he had the foot pain that he had to play through. That was the loss to the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's just what flashes in mind. Now, you're talking about numbers and doing something incredible and crazy, and I don't have one of those right away, but yeah, I mean, this one, the Berry one, what's the probability of that happening?
Right,
that a pick six in his hometown, where he was getting cancer treatment with all these people he's bought tickets for, then they get the only pick two in NFL history. And by the way, personal note here, I called the first pick two in college football history.
Now that's wild. Like,
I know, and I got the first pick, too, in NFL history. But the point is, you just can't make it up. And then to get to 29 points, mm-hmm. I mean, that is Dennis Quaid movie stuff, but it happened in real life. So,
all right. Well, let's look at this weekend's game and move forward. First test on the road for some of these rookies. What are they going to expect?
You know, I told you week one, hey, you know, what, bright-eyed, what happens? And we're counting on these rookies now more than ever, more than we thought we were going to count on them. This early, especially. And then week two, well, we saw some regression, right? We saw Kingsley with Trey Hendrickson just going nuts on him and the Chiefs making a move there. Carson Steele gets thrust into a role, but then he gets the ball ripped out from him. Still waiting for Jared Wiley to pop open here and do some stuff. Jaden Hicks has done a really good job overall. And then we know about Worthy week one to week two. Now week three is the next step in this thesis, and that is, what are you going to do on the road? We'll have a bunch of Chiefs fans there, like always, but let me actually Falcon fans, and they're fired up after that rally against the Eagles on Monday Night Football. So what do we expect? I don't know. But there's a lot of responsibility on these younger guys. They can learn lessons from the 2022 rookies who are thrust into the same role and end up winning a Super Bowl. But that's where you rely on, is our young leadership and our young mature leadership to help these guys, because I'm as curious as you are to see how they'll respond Sunday night.
Mitch, I want to bring up Kirk Cousins because I know he's obviously getting older in his career. He seems very statuesque, and his rushing total on DraftKings is 0.5. it looks like maybe they use, instead of using mobility, they might use play action as maybe one more thing that it kind of is a chink in their armor, maybe?
Well, maybe, but hear me out on this one. This is your strange stat of the morning. Kirk Cousins has, ever since he entered the league, I believe in 2012, has been one of the better play-action passers in the league. Mm-hmm. In fact, in 2022 and 23 with the Vikings, He had 16 touchdown passes. I think that was top three in the league off play-action passes. So what does Atlanta do in week one, right? He's got in a new system, although these guys are all refugees from the Sean McVay Rams system. But what does Atlanta do against Pittsburgh? No play-action passes called. The first time in Kirk Cousins' career, which spans, what do we got, 13 seasons? Zero. His quarterback rating was 59. They lose 18-10 on six field goals by Pittsburgh. Oh, maybe we ought to rethink this. Oh, so week two, and that Monday night game, he has eight play-action passes and gets things rolling again for him. But sometimes guys outsmart themselves. Like, why would you not go, hey, we got to have some pap game in here for Kirk because this is what he does. And, oh, and we have Bijan Robinson, who's a monster. Nope, let's just drop him back at five steps and see what happens. So a little bit of malfeasance week one, I think, for those guys.
Talking with Mitch Holtis here on 96.5 The Fan. And you know, one of the areas I think a lot of Chiefs fans are, you know, anxiety riddled over is the left tackle spot. You know, you talked about Kingsley being taken out of that game. Let's talk about that spot and what we kind of expect from it going forward, beginning this Sunday in Atlanta.
Again, I'm looking into a blank canvas here. Not sure. And I know both have been repping this week. And it's a matter of, even if Wanye goes this week, Wanye Morris, and goes for the bulk of the time, and there's times the Chiefs will go tackle over tackle. They went unbalanced line last week some. They'll do that some in this game. It's just what they do. They'll do it next week against the Chargers, and that means they'll both be on the field. Now, under different circumstances, meaning I'm not open, open side one-on-one, oh, here comes Trey Hendrickson to do every move in the book on me. But still, It's going to be a work in progress with Kingsley. They just have to make sure. He seems like, I don't know him that well yet, he seems like a very strong person mentally and emotionally, this would not crush him forever. But still, this is going to have to be something that's going to have to be worked through. But Andy Reid here, I think, is, as much as Andy Heck, becomes critical because he's a master psychologist, Andy Reid, and he's played the position, and, you know, it's a BYU kid. So He's invested in this kid to try to help him out. But even if, I mean, Wanye, it'd be nice if Wanye's out there to start. Like, Wanye, get after it here. This is another opportunity for you. Do this and attack, not just catch six touchdowns.
For me, the biggest concern offensively has been, why can't we get a yard, like third and one? It's been that way for the last couple of years inside the red zone as well. We couldn't cross the goal line on Sunday. What's going on inside the red zone there and third and short type situations?
I think that becomes the most paramount issue in this game offensively. The Chiefs are 5 of 17 on third down. That's 26th in the league. Now, I talked about Cousins. Atlanta's 30th. Only Cleveland and Carolina are worse on third down than Atlanta. But for the Chiefs, this also goes back to training camp. Even in the preseason games, there was a stalling on third down, particularly getting close to the red zone. Remember, starting for field goals in the preseason. So it is a matter of continue to work on this. Teams defensively, what do you think scheme-wise they're going to do? I mean, Atlanta would be dumb if they just didn't take Cincinnati's blueprint and go, can we do this? But it's also a part of familiarity, too. Cincinnati is very familiar with the personnel of us, not just scheme, and Atlanta's not. So it usually is helpful in these NFC crossover games. But I'm with you. Third down will be paramount in this game. Now, the Chiefs only have 1-3 and out. They're the best in the NFL so far in 2 weeks, 19 drives and 1-3 and out. So it's strange. And yet just 5 of 17 on third down. So it's in the critical downs where they get close to the goal line, where that's where the primary issue is, and trying to get some sevens instead of threes.
Mitch, I want to bring up the middle of the field, because I would say, and I think you would agree with this as well, that Kyle Pitts coming out of Florida was regarded as one of the better tight ends of the future because of his size, athleticism, and all that. We haven't really seen it blossom. We also didn't know that Mike Gesicki still had it in him, and we didn't know that Isaiah Likely was going to have the game he had. Here we are, week three. The linebacker's big in this one when it comes to a guy that is athletically stable to blow the roof off the dome in Atlanta in a Kyle Pitts tight end position.
Yeah, and Dusty, a little bit different here because both first two weeks with Baltimore and Cincinnati used a lot of multiple tight ends because it wasn't just Gesicki. They had four tight ends active. And they were using three tight ends, two tight ends a lot. Now, Atlanta doesn't do that as much. They will some, but Pitts is a monster. You know, we love watching the Olympics, but I think we can realize we're watching the Olympics every week when we watch the NFL. These are world-class athletes, and Kyle Pitts is exactly that. He was the highest-drafted tight end in NFL history. He went fourth overall that year and runs like a wide receiver. But Atlanta doesn't use a ton of multiple tight end sets. I'm going to throw in, I'll give you that one, but then defending Bijan Robinson is part of the answer here because he can wreck a game. He's got 48% of their advances. We saw what he did at UT. He would just take games over. But there's a lot of pressure here on the linebackers and the safeties, most notably the linebackers, because some part of the tight end thing you're talking about, Dusty, is linebackers, especially if they're double tight, because that means you're in base. That means it's all three of them out there with Chenal and Nick and also Tranquil. So they're going to have a very good game, their best game in probably since last year's playoffs. That's kind of a Captain Obvious, but there's a lot of pressure on the linebackers in this game.
So, but what about Bolton in particular? Because I think he may be banged up a little bit, but still, you're out on the field. You got to go out there and play. If you're well enough to play, we expect you to play well, type of thing. Where is this for him? Like, I feel like he needs a big game.
Well, and this goes back to Dusty's previous question. If you're in multiple tight ends, then that means you're in base, but that means Nick's going to be in coverage a lot, and he's going to be in coverage in the second level and even sneaking into the third. So I think with Spags, in looking at his strategy, when you're up in base defense and coverage, is examining that. And he's usually awesome in making adjustments, but he's going to have to be better in coverage, Bob. And that's, you know, turning your hips. He's skilled. We all know what Bolt can do. And so this is a big game for him too, because Bijan Robinson is issue 1, 2, 3, and then Pitts is 4. And then they got other dudes. Drake London's good. Ray McLeod, last seen in Super Bowl 58. He's on this team. Darnell Mooney played for Nags in Chicago. He's really good. So they got some weapons here, and they got first round picks all over the place, but it starts with Bijan Robinson. And that means it starts with the Chiefs linebackers in coverage, because he'll catch the ball a lot in the passing game, Bijan.
All right, before we let you get out of here, I got a feeling it's going to be a big day for Travis Kelce and a big day for Chris Jones. How do you feel about that?
I feel the same. It goes back to the familiarity part of it. If you play a team over and over and over again, you're kind of used to it. If you're not, you don't play a team very often. We haven't seen these guys since the COVID year of 2020.
Yep.
Playing Kelce is just so wild that I heard Raheem talk about it this week, but to say it and do it are two different things. And the same with Chris Jones. This is a good offensive line for Atlanta. Matthews is really good at left tackle. He's an NFL legacy. And good guys on the inside. But Chris Jones is a different freak animal. And so when you haven't played against him, you can scheme and you can think, hey, I can watch video, but until it really happens, it's tough. So I'm with you. I'm anticipating big days from those guys.
Have a good call down in Atlanta, Mitch. Get there safely, and we're all looking forward to being 3-0 on Monday morning.
Thanks for the Eric Berry memories. Honestly, I'd thought about it earlier this week, but not in the last couple days, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's just such a remarkable story.
No doubt, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good call on Sunday.
Thanks,
man.
Boys. Yep. See you.
That was good. I'm glad we got to the got Mitch to cry there for a little bit.
Yeah, it's good.
That's good. I do love that story on Eric Berry. I think also in that same season, I could be wrong, pretty sure Eric Berry did something against Carolina that game where basically he ripped the ball away
from somebody.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and they won the game. I think it was like late in the fourth quarter. Like I could be wrong.
I think that was that season.
And it was the same season. I think it was almost either back-to-back weeks, or it was like either somewhere in there when it came to like something around that same period.
Yeah, at Carolina, I think it was. Yeah.
It was at Carolina, and I don't know if it was like 2 minutes left in the game or if there was like a little bit left. I just know that it was extremely close into the thing. But yeah, Mitch Holtis joins the show. We'll bring up a little bit of what he said later on. If you missed it, Mitch Holtis is sponsored by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Also sponsored by GEHA, the official sponsor for the Kansas City Chiefs. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. Coming up on the other side, we dive into more sports on 98.65 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Stat correction. In that game against Carolina, it was Eric Berry who picks off Cam Newton. The Chiefs were down 17-6. He picked it, did a twirl, did another twirl, did a juke, and then scored in the corner of the end zone right in front of Cam Newton. And then to the text line's help, it was Marcus Peters who ripped the ball away from Kelvin Benjamin, who before he was a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
He was a tight end. I remember when they converted him. It's weird like you how you remember stuff. I remember Josh and I were in his Jeep driving to training camp listening to whatever was on the radio at that hour of the morning right after Ben or whatever. And they're like, Kelvin Benjamin has been signed by the Giants and they're converting him to a tight end. We were like, how much is this guy eating?
Well, I mean, Booger McFarland's the one that said he was a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
That's one of the great lines, isn't it?
I mean, I can't believe they got rid of Booger. I liked him.
I did too. I didn't like the Booger Mobile.
Yeah, that was just jumping the shark, but he in general was great.
He's fantastically entertaining, but I think he's on college coverage now or something, if I'm not mistaken. But he was really good. I enjoyed him.
I think, did he go to LSU?
Yes, I think he did. Did he wipe the boogers on the wall? Is that why they call him Booger?
No, dude. Oh. I know exactly who did it. I just want someone to be on the text line that knows somebody about DNA testing, and I want to figure out if I'm right.
Yeah.
I've never been wanting to be more right about anything in my life than who's those trophies are.
Yeah, because I don't think you're right. I got somebody else in mind, I'll tell you, in the break.
There's only like seven people that use that bathroom.
Yeah, I know.
But so the process of elimination is four because it's not us three.
Yeah,
because
I think I have an idea who it is. So. Wait,
the boogers were here even before I got here, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they've been here since like April. Yeah. Yeah.
Still there. I mean, gripped on.
Yeah, they are holding. They're not giving up, man.
No. You'd think that gravity would take over.
Yeah, eventually. Or eventually they just fall off.
Another
John
Mayer song. Chiefs props this week. We get into. Mac, you did do the Kelce parlay?
I did it, man. I'm all in on Kelce this
units?
Week. I've got, it's a normal, yeah, two units for okay. me. Two units for me.
So what do you have? Travis Kelce on the over yards?
Over 48.5 receiving yards.
Right.
Over 6.5 first quarter receiving yards. So I need a catch from him in the first quarter. And then two touchdowns.
Okay.
That is $130 plus $13.10.
Plus $13.10.
So 10, okay. You win 130.
Nice. Okay. Good.
That's the juice worth the squeeze.
Yeah, that's it right there, yeah.
Bet, like you said yesterday, Dusty, if he gets that touchdown in the first half, like, I'm locked in, man. Ready to go.
Yeah. I think he's going to be the first touchdown scorer of the game.
Ooh, I hope.
I think they get the ball, three and out. Chiefs get the ball. Kelce, three catches. One of them is a touchdown. He has, like, 35 yards in the first drive.
And do I cash or do I?
No, okay. Right? That's when you ride that out.
You ride it out.
You would cash if he caught a touchdown on one catch for, like, 5 yards.
Yeah,
then you cash.
Then cash, yeah.
Because then you'd get probably $25, so you'd net 15. My bet I'm going to place this week on a prop is Travis Kelce to have two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
It's plus 900.
Wow.
$10.
$950, I think.
It's plus 950 now.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday it was.
So, I mean, to me, I don't know. I mean, it's either going to be him or Carson Steele to get touchdowns. Obviously, Rashee Rice is there. But that's the prop bet I like, is Kelce to have two touchdowns. Because it's a low-risk, super high reward.
Yeah.
$10 will win you, you know, 900 or 900. It'll win you a 90, 100 overall, but you'll get, you know, your money back. Plus, so you get $90 there if you bet $10 on it. So,
how many touchdowns do you think it's going to take to win this game?
Three.
Three.
Three in a field goal or two.
That's just me respecting their offense.
Yeah, no, I think you're going to, you know, in an NFL game, probably 3 to 4 touchdowns is what you're going to need out of your offense every week if you want to be in contention. So.
I guess you could say four. I guess you could say two and then two, what? Two field goals by Butker to make it 20 to 17.
20 gets it done. I don't think
they score more than 17 against this defense.
Yeah.
I know Cincinnati did. But I mean, Joe Burrow, I think, is a little bit better than Kirk Cousins. And Joe Burrow kind of plays a little bit more fire when he plays the Chiefs.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. No, he does. He raises his level. Joe Burrow was really good the other day, right?
They can run the ball, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Falcons, I mean.
Yes, yeah. I know. And then week one, the Chiefs had Lamar Jackson, right? They held him to what? How many points? 20. And then Joe Burrow to 25. So if you hold two of the alleged best, maybe they're not two of the best of this year. You know, Lamar's maybe not as good as we thought this year. And, you know, I mean, It's getting ugly in Baltimore right now. If they lose this weekend and fall to 0-3, and they got Dallas this week, and that which doesn't guarantee they're going to lose, but it's a hell of a matchup. But they could go to 0-3. If they're 0-3, their season's over. So you had Lamar at 20. You had Joe Burrow at 25. Do you think Kirk Cousins is better than either of those guys?
No, I don't either.
So I'm going to think somewhere probably 17 to 20 point range is where the Atlanta Falcons are going to end up.
Patrick Mahomes over under in passing yards is 261.5. And his passing touchdown number is 1.5 touchdowns. So,
well, if you're taking Kelsey for 2 touchdowns and you got to take Mahomes, obviously the over of 1.5 with the touchdowns there, 261.5 is a nice number too, because passing numbers around this league have been down this year. And Mel Kiper will tell you it's the too high safety and he wants that banned from football.
That guy blows.
I mean, like, seriously, like you talk about like a grandpa take right there. Like, just ban it.
Is it the same take of like people that got mad about the shift in baseball?
Or the shift in baseball sucked, though.
But like, does the cover? That's what I'm saying. Is it the same argument or is it different?
I think it's different because I didn't even really know this was going on until Mel Kiper was yelling about it. You know,
the argument in football is that they're playing the too high, but then the rebuttal back is like, well, then check it down or throw underneath.
Yeah, throw underneath.
But then when like they'd have the shift in baseball, if you're like, well, then just hit it in the other way.
It's harder to do that in baseball, right? Like it is.
I didn't know if it was the same argument.
Yeah, no, I don't know that it is. I don't think the average fan even knows what the too high safety zone is or can. Cares what
or the
that
nickel
is,
or the
right?
Dime,
right?
Bob.
Any of that stuff. I mean, like
both round.
I'll be honest with you. You've heard of it. I don't pay attention to what formation defenses are in when that's not my job, right?
Let me tell you about a two eye safety, Bob. This is Binkley on a Character Concerns podcast. You play a two eye safety, you want to dink and dunk, you want to go underneath. That's why Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice are big this week.
Yeah. So if you want to go too high safety, whatever that is. No, I don't think it's the same at all, because I think it's easier to adjust to something in football than it is to baseball.
Like
you're relying on trying to hit a ball with a stick. Come on now.
And that stick, you got to get, you know, new every 2 years. Otherwise, it doesn't pass league settings. Coming up on the other side, Rob Riggle's podcast had a funny, it'll segue right into our 8 o'clock topic here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, my friends, it's